Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I'm greeting you in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus. What a joy it is to be his friend. And I want to share with you in the next week or two and today that we are called by a new name. If you'll open your Bible in Isaiah, and you find in chapter 62, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Understand that we are called by a new name. Now, we call the program Saints for Jesus. If a saint, then I have a new name. And the new name is given to me by the Lord Jesus, and he loves me so much, he calls me his friend. Let me read to you what the scriptures say about this friendship that we have. If you'll turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We are, with this new name, friend. The Lord Jesus says, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I would say to you that God has given us the great gift of friendship. How wonderful to have a true friend. And then I would ask the question, what is the secret of the success? I had a friend. How do I make this friendship successful? The Lord Jesus is our friend, the best of all friends. You can read about that in Proverbs 18 and 24. He is our friend because he is first our Savior. If you look at verses 14 and 15 of this chapter, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. In other words, Jesus is saying to us that we are his friends, and I have to ask me, am I a true friend? If you look at James 4:4, you find that the question is not so much, is the Lord Jesus my friend, but rather, am I his? Do I do those things that cause him to say, I am his friend? All of John 15 points to the friendship that we have with our Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to saved people. Under law, it was said, do this and live. Under grace, the Lord says to us, live and do. There's a great difference in that. We have all kinds of political things going on today, do as you're told, or else you're fined. We find that such things in all walks of life. And as I had to fill a form in the other day, and if I didn't fill it in by a certain date, I would be penalized for so much money. It's so threatening. That's not a friendship. Under the law, it was said, do this and live. But under grace, the Lord Jesus says, live and then do. We are not saved, nor do we merit any saving blessing by doing. However, when saved, the Lord Jesus Christ says in verse 14 here, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. To be the true friend of the Lord Jesus Christ carries the responsibility of full obedience to him. So let's look at the nature of this friendship. Ye are my friends is a very suggestive expression that Jesus uses here. There are several characteristics of this friendship. First, it is absolutely unique. Not friendship as man with man, but God with man and man with God. And it is the only friendship of its kind. It's the only friendship of its kind. So this friendship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is totally unique. The second thing, how condescending it is. Think who this friend is that wants us to call us his friends. The king to the commoner, asking, give me your friendship. Yet it is more wonderful as we consider that it is the King of Kings who says to us lost sinners, be my friend. Come unto me, and I will never leave you. I will never reject you. I will always keep you as my friend. It is a very personal relationship, is the third thing here. The nature of this friendship, it's tremendously personal. Look at this verse 14 again. See two words, ye or you and my. Notice, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. My friends, ye are my friends. Notice how this spells out. There is nothing closer and wonderfully. He is just as much a friend to you as I and to any other Christian. He is the same to all of us that call ourselves Christians. So unique and so gracious is he as a friend to all of us at the same time. So it is not a turn on, a turn off, a happening now and later there'll be another happening. It's not that at all. This is a dear, sweet friendship. The fourth thing to look at the nature of this friendship is it is constant and enduring. This friend is always with us. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John here, we find in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour was come, and he should depart from this world unto the Father. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. This friendship of Jesus is constant and it is enduring. You could add to that scripture Hebrews 13 and verses 5 through 6 and be blessed. Now, again, back into the 14th verse of this 15th chapter, I would say to you that as far as the nature of this friendship is, our friend has done something for us to prove that he wants our friendship. Verse 14, ye are my friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends. He wants our friendship. He is a friend of sinners. In Matthew 11 and 19, it says he was the friend of sinners, and he has given his life out of love for us. Surely we want, above everything else, not only to acknowledge him as friend, but also to be in the position before him where he is glad to acknowledge us as his friends. Now, the second thing I want to point out to you is the privilege of this friendship. We have in our lives many privileges, but one of the privileges of friendship is that we share something very close. There is one very special privilege indicated in verse 15 here. Henceforth I call you not servants, I have called you friends. Two words, intimate fellowship. It can be summed up this way. The servant is not in the confidence of his master and doesn't know all the affairs and plans, but with a friend. Now, to be a friend of the Lord Jesus means to be in his confidence and to share his travail and his joys. Abraham is referred to as the friend of God. If you go to 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7, you'll see it. In Isaiah 41 and verse 8, you'll see the same thing. James refers to this friendship with God that Abraham has in James 2 and 23. Now, the reason Abraham was so called the friend of God was that he shared secret things that God showed him. He was in God's confidence. I would urge you, if I could urge you, to do one thing for your own benefit, and it would be this. Study Genesis 18, verses 17 through 22. What a privilege to be in the Lord's confidence. God said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to lead you. If you go back into the Old Testament, there are so many things to learn, but this very thing is illustrated in the life of Noah, to whom God revealed his plan to send judgment in form of a flood. If you read Genesis 6 and verses 12 and 13, you will hear God saying to Noah, build an ark. I'm going to flood the world. I'm going to destroy mankind, except for those of you that will be in the ark. Or, if you want a further explanation, understand Moses, to whom the Lord spoke many times concerning his plans and his purposes for Israel. Look at Exodus 33, verses 9 through 11, and you will discover how it is that God is saying what he's going to do with Israel. And Moses is the man that God confides in. Many times God will confide in the person who is trusting him and is enjoying the friendship of God. A friend of mine was about to embark on what I thought was a foolish, dangerous escapade, but he felt he was hazarding his life for the Lord Jesus in this missionary cause. He typed a letter to me early one morning from a place in the Middle East, and I said to him with great love, as I expressed myself back in an email, it's time for you to come home and go to your wife and be with your boys and stay close. Stay very close to them. They needed his comfort. They needed his presence. And first, God never puts a family into jeopardy without a very, very good reason. Without that reason, he has no claim on the man. And so Moses had this wonderful experience with God. The plans and purposes for Israel were revealed to him, just as God has revealed to us that in the last times Israel will be terribly persecuted and abandoned. Just as God has revealed to us that in the last time of all, eventually Jesus will come and set his feet upon Jerusalem and Mount Moriah, and it will be a wonderful time when Jesus comes. Jesus is coming. The Temple Mount, it belongs to God. It does not belong to Allah. Allah is Satan. God is our Lord God Almighty, the creator of the ends of the earth, who has given us love. Allah apparently has given only fierceness and terrible doom. But God has given us love, and people can't accept the love because they are guilty of sin. They have no freedom of sin. But when you accept God's plan is that Jesus, who died for your sin, has taken our sins away and eradicated our sins, cleansed us in his blood, and has put a new song in our mouths, a new wonderful rock to stand upon. And it is the rock called Jesus. That person is born again, and that person stands with God. And God wants to be the friend of that person, and that's why he saved him. Understand, if you need more, there's Paul the Apostle, to whom the Lord revealed so many of the mysteries of the gospel. Colossians 1, verses 24 through 29. Teach us this. God revealed to him great mysteries of the gospel that had been hidden from the eyes and ears of men for decades. But the Apostle Paul had the revelation of God. Today the same holds true. If we would know God's plans for the present and the future, we must qualify for his friendship, because it is only to his friends that he reveals these sorts of things. Now, a third thing that I want to share with you is the condition of this friendship. There are lots of different conditions in life. We have the condition, for instance, the result of sin, the consequence of sin. We can't get away from the consequence of sin. The psalmist David, he said, "My sins are ever before me," yet he knew his sins were forgiven. But he says, "My sins, they keep on coming across the screen of my mind, and my heart is constantly damaged because there is something going on in my heart, and I can't put out the memory." God says, "I remember your sins no more." He puts them behind his back. He puts them in the depths of the sea. He throws them away. But man cannot do this. For some reason, we cannot do it. Now look at verse 14 of John 15 again with me, please. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." If ye do whatsoever I command you. This is the condition of the friendship with God. It indicates full submission to the Lord's authority. This friend who calls us his friends is, after all, our Lord. Go to Luke 6, verse 46. Go to John 2 and verse 5. The Lord Jesus says, "If ye do," that is, if you are obedient, if you are obedient, and it's terribly necessary, "be obedient also if ye do whatsoever," that is, the complete and unqualified obedience. First, we look at obedience. Are you prepared to be obedient to God? Well, if you are, you have to understand that he requires complete, unqualified obedience. This means we must keep the Ten Commandments and all the commandments in the Word of God. Which ones could we not keep? Let's look at verses of this chapter here, 15 of verse 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Notice verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." We have these tremendous words. Look at verse 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." The world is going to hate you, verse 18, Jesus says. Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Oh, my word! And yet we're playing to the world constantly. We have introduced the music of the world into our churches, and we say, isn't it wonderful to worship God in such a manner? And I have to say this with great care and continuing love for you. I will say this to you, as a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ, can you truly worship God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and all that is in you, when you can't even comprehend what the words are that are being sung? Can you really worship God? Or is it that you have such an emotional high that that is what you've confused as worshiping God? Hence, we have a lot of people disappointed that God doesn't do as he is told by us, because the emotions have led us, and the emotions have kept us, and the emotions have made us do this, that, and the other. And I dearly say to you, with kindness, we need to get back to a place where we worship God with all our hearts. You may say the Ten Commandments were for the Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled the commandments. That may be absolutely true. I think it is. But it is also Ten Commandments for us to observe and keep. And we have to remember what we've done with the Sabbath day. We have our big football matches on the Sabbath day. Well, you can argue the Sabbath is Saturday or Sunday. Some will say this and that. Let's not get into that sort of sideline discussion. Let's understand that there is a Sabbath day, and for the most of us, it is Sunday. It's the S-O-N day. And as we worship God on the Sunday, let us understand that we have to have unqualified obedience. Always remember the truth revealed in the first chapter of John's letter, first letter, that is, the fifth chapter and the third verse. Now, the last thing I want to say to you is the constraint of this friendship. The very thing that proves his friendship for us is the thing that constrains us to be his friends. Verse 13 tells us this. He gave himself for us. If you go to Isaiah 53 and verse 5, Galatians 2 and 20, and 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, you will see the same theme being taught. Jesus gave himself for us. Real friendship is mutual. It must come from both sides. His friendship is unquestioned, but ours is invariably questionable. Now, my dear friends, let me say to you this. Are you a friend of the Lord Jesus? A friend that is prepared to lay down his life. A friend that will give his life for the Lord Jesus. Are you prepared to forsake all and follow him? In another piece of scripture, the 23rd, I think it is, of Luke's gospel, we hear that there was one who was sitting down amongst the soldiers whose name was Peter. And a girl said to him, "You're one of his followers." He said, "No, I don't know this man at all." She came to him again and she said, "You are one of his followers." Peter said, "No, I am not." And then the third time she came, she said, "You know, it's a curious thing, but I've heard you speak, and you speak with an accent, the accent of the Galileans, and you are one of his followers." And Peter cursed and he said, "I'm not." At that moment, the cockerel across the other side of the lawn or wherever it was they were at in the garden crowed. And Peter thought, "Oh my, Jesus said to me, Before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me three times, and I've just done it. And there's the cockerel crowing, and he looked at Jesus, and through the blood and spittle on the face and in the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of Jesus pierced his eyes and went into his heart, and he looked at Jesus, and he said, in effect, by his action, as he walked out of that garden of shame, I have denied my Lord. I'm not his friend. And he wept bitterly. It may be, dear friend, that you as a saint of the Lord Jesus have denied the Lord Jesus in your friendship. And it may be that there is great scathing going on inside your heart and scourging upon you. You feel as if you should be punished for the situation you find yourself in. And Jesus says, I am your friend. Come to me. So come to him and find the forgiveness that he has already given you. Understand the love of God is greater far than tongue can tell. It reaches from the highest star down into the very lowest of hell. Be the friend of Jesus. Let's pray together, please. Lord Jesus, we ask that our friendship shall be recognized by us and by you. And we thank you for your friendship of coming into this world to die for our sins. Mostly to rise again from the dead, and we give you hallelujahs and praises that you had strength enough to conquer death and to live forever. Thank you now for living on our behalf and being our friend. Help us to be better friends. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.